We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Overnight America, our number 3Zs. Yeah. The 1Zs, the 2Zs, and the 3Zs. Is here. Oh, look at that. CBS, their overnight news is talking about Judge Jeanine Pirro about missing her show this week. So they don't know if she was fired or if just suspended or whatever's going after some of her comments. President Trump even spoke out about it, talked about the radical left and kicking her off the air, whatever it is, on Fox News. She's got a Saturday night show. I never watch it. I can't say I've ever even seen a clip where I've wanted to press play on her show. She doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know. I know she's smart, but doesn't do it for me. So I'm sure on the weekend shows on Fox, it's not their number one priority. They're sticking with Tucker Carlson after all the heat, so there might be something else going on there. Who knows? Maybe her show's not doing all that well, so it's not much of a loss if they run something else there. At least they're not as bad as CNN, who runs these, you know, I love the 80s programming junk on the weekends. When I come in here on the radio station and I'm trying to monitor some of the different networks, it just makes me wonder, these I love the 80s style pop-up video style programming that CNN runs during the night on the weekends. I just don't get it. It can't be giving them much of a rating, if anything. So here's a couple of stories. How about this? Did you see Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist, will return to his two TV shows? The AP was reporting that one. That's pretty big news. He's okay. I mean, I don't dislike him. I think he's a actual legit mind. He's not like Bill Nye, who's an entertainer and not a scientist, but they give him all the credit in the world for having an opinion. National Geographic Channel said in a statement that he'll return starting with in April with the 13 episodes that remain in the season. It was put on hold originally as they were looking into his sexual misconduct investigation. They didn't exactly know. And I think they did the right thing. Between Fox and National Geographic, they took this person and they said, okay, we're going to investigate and see if these allegations are credible, and we're going to do our due diligence as opposed to, you know, dropping the person immediately. How many times have you seen a personality dropped immediately? And they don't even care if it's true or not. They just use it as their first out, because the moment there's even a little bit of controversy, and even if it's just manufactured or fake or whatever it is, just to drum up some outrage and to put some pressure on these networks to get rid of a personality that they don't like, they buckle and fold the first chance they get. And this was a little bit different with a Neil deGrasse Tyson. There was Chris Hardwick that also ran into something, and he was someone that was with the Nerdist, I think. Yeah. He was someone that had these allegations. I think it was his ex-girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever it was. And he had the show on his podcast network. He did The Talking Dead, which was a show that aired after The Walking Dead. And there were some allegations that came up. He was super well-liked, well-connected with all of the people. And the moment these allegations came up, they axed him. Didn't even matter. Well, they ended up doing an investigation and found out he was innocent, but by that time, the damage was done, and it was over with. He was taken off. Even the own network he created and started and was the founder, they took his name off of everything because they wanted to disassociate with him quickly. It was during this whole Me Too movement where all you had to do was whisper someone's name, and it was enough to get their life derailed if they were innocent even. There was no due diligence or any justice in a lot of these cases like his. So we find that these instances happen, and you know what? It was kind of refreshing. If you like Neil deGrasse Tyson or not, they actually did their due diligence, and they did their thing, and they're going to put a show back on. Doesn't necessarily mean anything when it comes to sexual misconduct or whatnot. It probably means these networks, when they looked into it, found there wasn't enough to stop them from airing these TV shows or whatever it was. So good for them. I think that's the way these networks should handle it. I think that putting a pause on it as opposed to immediately firing the person is the right way to do it, because then it gives them a little time to get all of the facts that they can get their hands on before they make some sort of harsh move where they would just drop them all together. You see that scientists are outlining how there could be water on the moon. This has been something that's been theorized for a while. And for the longest time, they always kind of knew there was water on the moon. And it's funny that in science, in NASA, we have satellites all over the place. And the lifespan of a satellite is only so long. Eventually, it's going to run out of its fuel, or it's going to run out of its source of energy, or whatever is in there. And eventually, it's going to be useless. So it'll be a piece of junk that's just going to go out there and whatever. So a lot of times, at the very end of the life cycle of these satellites, and we do this with other planets too, like Saturn, they'll purposely crash the satellite into a planet or a body or whatever it is, just to see what happens, right? You know, they thought, oh, why not? It's not going to hurt it. We're just going to throw it in there. And then we'll get as many measurements as we can off of this sort of thing. And the one time they did that to the moon, they crashed this satellite into one of the poles of the moon where it's very dark. And when I mentioned dark, there's not technically a dark side of the moon. The way the moon goes around the Earth, there's still sun shining on the back end and the front end of it. But the way that's tilted, there's a certain area where there is no sunshine. It's just near the poles. So they thought, well, if it's cold there all the time, maybe there's something frozen there. So they slam a satellite into that area, and all be, what shoots up? A bunch of particles associated with water. So they think, there could be water on these poles. Well, NASA scientists made this moon discovery after they had these assumptions that on the surface of the moon, there could be liquid or frozen water, whatever it may be. And now it looks like the satellites are actually able to observe moving water on the moon's surface. Now, that's pretty exciting. Not just frozen, but moving water. Lunar water could potentially be used by humans to make fuel and also use as radiation shielding. That is pretty remarkable if there's some sort of liquid water on the moon. Let's see. They say it is an important new result about lunar water, a hot topic as our nation's space program returns to focus on lunar exploration. Sometimes I wonder, too. I wonder if these sort of maybe lunar moving water is out there is code for, hey, we need extra funding. So the budget's coming up. They're writing what's going to happen next. NASA is already getting a larger budget. NASA's budget was slashed during the Obama administration. President Trump comes in and gives them more money to do things. And he says a priority. We want to send men back to the moon. I think President Trump probably remembers the moon landing when he was a kid, just like a lot of other people did, and how much pride that brought the country, and said, you know, there's more that we can study up there. The reason we stopped going to the moon is because we just cut the budget. We just said, we don't got no money for it. You know, after we went to the moon, the United States, we started planning how we were going to get to Mars and send people to the Mars, right? We're going to send a man to Mars next. And they were going to do it, but during the Nixon administration, they said, we're just going to cut the budget. We don't need to do that. That's the only reason why we didn't go. I mean, it's not that we didn't necessarily have the technology. We kind of had the technology. I'm sure it would have been more difficult for them to do it, but hey, if we would have spent as much money continuing on the same budget as we did going to the moon, we'd have made it to Mars too. Just kind of fascinating. So next thing you know, we're going to send more people to the moon. Even if it's just the rovers, you have India, you have Israel, you have Japan, you have all these other countries that are having this sudden surge of interest of sending rovers and things up to the moon. In fact, you can actually see, I think it's China's rover that's sending some photos back right now. It's really cool. You know, it's fun to see those sort of things. Virgin Galactic, the Richard Branson was sending a satellite to go up and rotate around the moon so it's easier to relay signals back to Earth as opposed to relying on the little satellites that are on the individual rovers themselves. If there was just a relay, it can send it up and send it back. We can get HD video from the moon because of something like that. So send more rovers, send more people. That's kind of cool. There's a lot we can explore. I've always wondered what's in some of those caverns and caves in the moon. What can we find underneath the surface? If we had more time, we could check it out. And you know what? To me, that's pretty exciting. That's actually more exciting than Mars, to tell you the truth. I think about everything that can go wrong and probably will go wrong sending to Mars. Let's go to the moon. Try it out. Do your thing. See what we can figure out there. I'm sure there's something good. Coming up next is Scott Ballen. And what are some of the misunderstood health risks of smokeless tobacco products? We're going to talk to him about that next. An interview from this week I thought was really good on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is someone who has spent more than 40 years involved in health-related issues to tobacco and public health in general. Scott Ballen, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
My pleasure.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about what we've seen, some rising trends in some certain tobacco products. You see these vape shops pop up a lot. You've also seen some other trends from overseas find their way over here. And I wanted to talk to you about some of those things. And there was a study published in the Journal of Addictive Behaviors. Have you seen that one?
Probably. I sort through a lot of stuff every single day.
Yeah. So you see probably a lot of products then, too. And one of these things I saw brought up was snus, which is a snus.
Yes.
There should be like an umlaut over it or something.
Yeah,
snus.
It's a Scandinavian product.
Right. Are you starting to see more alternative products pop up here in the United States?
Yes, and I think we need more of it, because one of the problems that we have in this country is that we have been so focused on tobacco issues in general, and we tend to regard all tobacco products and nicotine products as being equally harmful. And people do not understand that what is killing 480,000 Americans every single year is the fact that these products are smoked. It's the combustion and the smoke that goes into the lungs that causes the disease. I get very frustrated when people say it's the nicotine that causes cancer or heart disease. Nicotine has its issues. It is addictive, but it's not the cause of disease and death in this country. Swedish snus, which has been around for a very long time, and many in public health have said that it is 95% lower in risk than a cigarette, the deadly cigarette, and yet most Americans don't understand the relative risks of the various products that are out there today, including e-cigarettes. That's a big debate these days. As I'm sure you're aware, it's in the papers on a daily basis now. We need to sort out the risks and relative risks of these various products and to let the American public know. As I said, 480,000 deaths every year, costing this country $300 billion in health care costs and low productivity because of smoking. Smoking is the real substantive problem in this country.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think sometimes the risks are downplayed? So when you see other things pop up, like the vaping, for example, and they look at it as an alternative, but they, it seems like, build themselves as if there's no risks to something like that because there hasn't been enough studies on it.
Yeah, there are. Everything in our society that we put into our bodies has risk. I mean, look at our food, the foods we eat. We have a real obesity problem in this country that's causing heart disease, cancer, diabetes from cholesterol, sodium, you name it, it's part of it. And we need to begin to focus on that as well. The same is the problem with tobacco. And I think we need to begin, and the FDA is trying, but not doing the job sufficiently to sort out the relative risks of these products. You know, if everybody switched who is smoking today, that's 30 million smokers, switch to a non-combustible product such as a, you know, Swedish snus or something like that, or the patches or gums that are more, could be developed to be more effective, we would reduce the amount of disease and death in this country by a significant amount. Mm-hmm. But we're not focused on that. I ask people, when I meet them, individuals, you know, what they think about what's killing them or what tobacco is about, and they think all these products are equally harmful. Far from that. And we need to do a better job of educating the public about these relative risks and the products that are out there. They do need to be regulated by the FDA. There's no question. And there is a concern about the use of vaping products by kids.
Right.
But we got to make sure that the adult smoker understands what the products that they could actually use to wean themselves off that deadly combustible product could mean to their health. And we need to do a better job of that.
Joining us now is Scott Ballen. He's a health policy consultant. He also looks at issues regarding tobacco and public health in general. And you talked about the age, and we've seen a lot of teenagers, high school, whatnot, find their way into using some of these products as they become more popular here in the United States. Do you think there needs to be more regulation when it comes to a certain age and sometimes the way that they market some of these products? For example, you know, cotton candy flavored or grape flavored, where it seems like they're directly targeting minors. And do you think there needs to be more regulation in that sense?
Yes, I do. We have to be very careful about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, because these e-cigarette products can actually help addicted cigarette smokers. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of bad actors out there who are selling these products to and marketing these products to kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way, and FDA does need to set some rules out.
We also look at the trends that are happening in the United States when it comes to the smoking rate. A lot of times people say the best thing you can do is educate people when it comes to smoking, and you see over time the people who are smoking seem to decline. We've seen that a lot through the last couple of decades. So what do you attribute to maybe some of these other alternative forms coming into the picture? Do you think they've contributed to the trend of people stopping smoking as well?
Well, I think that we've done a good job of trying to educate people about the risks of smoking. We've seen this decline. But as I said before, we have 30 million smokers in this country that are costing the society a lot of money. They need our assistance as well. So we've done everything we can with a lot of different programs and activities, cessation programs, trying to put them on the patches and the gums, et cetera. But I think that's not enough. We still have 14% of the population smoking. And if we can give them products that are 95% lower in risk than the deadly cigarette, that will help wean them off. I mean, they need a product that's consumer acceptable, that gives them a nicotine fix while they try to get away from all nicotine products. And we're not doing a good enough job on that. Now, Commissioner Gottlieb at the FDA has said he wants to deal with the youth issue, but he also wants to deal with the issue of providing adult consumers with alternative products, but they've been slow in making it happen. As I said, I talk to a lot of people who I see smoking, and I ask them these questions, and they are more today than they've ever been with respect to what products they can use or shouldn't use or help them get off a deadly cigarette.
Yeah.
But we need to be providing them with truthful and accurate information, the public and the smokers, about what this could mean to getting them off a deadly cigarette. Their health is at stake. They're the ones that are dying prematurely from cigarette smoking.
You know, I've seen some people argue that the restrictive nature of some of these alternative products, they restrict it just like they do smoking when it comes to restaurants and workplaces, things like that. Other people are trying to argue that you should allow it inside of these other commercial like your workplace or for example, because they say, you know, the vaping, it's not like the smoking, so I should be able to do that indoors. You should be able to encourage me to do that. Do you have any comments or thoughts about when it comes to maybe the secondhand accounts of some of these things, and if you think we should maybe relax in the workplace or allow some of these things in the workplace?
Yeah, I think we should relax some of this stuff because the evidence suggests that these products, even those who are opposed to e-cigarettes, acknowledge that these products are much, much lower in risk than cigarettes. However, I will, say that we do need more research. You know, there's this tendency to think that all of the e-cigarettes out there are equally safe or whatever. And I think there's a big spectrum of products out there that aren't necessarily safer than certain things. So we need to set some product standards. FDA needs to do that.
Well, if people want to become more educated on this, or if you want to direct them in a certain way to go check out some of the things that you're looking at or some of the things you're doing, where should they go?
Well, they need to look at the FDA websites to see what's going on with the agency. Look at some of the commissioner's comments about what they vision as a new nicotine policy in this country, but they're struggling with getting that implemented. There's so much stuff going on, and there's so much rhetoric going on, but that's a good place to start.
Okay.
Because I think that the FDA wants to ensure that no kids are enticed into using any tobacco or nicotine products, but at the same time, they're also saying that these 30 million addicted American smokers need these alternatives.
Yeah. You know, and if people want to check out what you're doing, is there any place they can find you?
Well, I'm independent. I worked at the Heart Association for a long time,
yeah.
And I have been working in these issues for a long time. And the best thing I've been able to do, there is a website of some stuff that I've written. It's called tobaccoatacrossroads.com.
Okay, tobaccoatacrossroads.com.
Perfect. Yeah, so that will sort of give a historical perspective of how this whole concept of harm reduction and getting products out there for people to use can help save lives.
Great. Health policy consultant Scott Ballen, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Yes, my pleasure.
He joins us on the GL International Realty guest line. I got about a half hour left with our time here tonight on Overnight America KMOX. It'll be a quick week for me this week. No, I'm looking forward to it. Welcome back to Overnight America. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download it at KMOX.com/overnight. It's a direct link, but even easier, best thing you can do, search Overnight America on your favorite podcast app, whatever that may be, and hit that subscribe button. That's a much better direct link to it. So this week, of course, tonight, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night's going to be a special show because we'll be doing some paranormal investigating on Wednesday night. We're actually having the crew come in. They're going to have their instruments. I already compared them to Ghostbusters. They laughed, so that'll be good for us that we can joke about this. And we had a great interview with John Lindsay last week. If you missed it, just go back to the podcast from Thursday. And I asked him, hey, what are we going to do? What are you interested in doing? Are you going to, pull sound? Are you going to just do video? Are you looking for visual? Are you looking for stories? What are you looking for? Well, he answered all those things, which was really good. And I think we're going to have some fun with it. So Wednesday night, live on the air, we're going to walk around our building, and they're going to have all their Ghostbuster equipment. And we're going to see if we can catch ourselves some paranormal activity. I don't think we will, but it'll be fun if we do. It'll just be interesting. And then on Thursday night, I'm going to be off. I believe it's Brad Young filling in Thursday night. And producer Mike and myself are going to be going to the Red Wings Blues game down at Enterprise Center. And we haven't quite figured out exactly what our little friendly wager is going to be on that game. It'll be something. I just don't know what it's going to be yet. I recommended to him last week. I said, you know that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air dance, that Carlton dance? It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. You know, he play the song and he does his little dorky dance, but it's actually really awesome. I said, how about loser has to learn that dance and perform it on demand, you know, for a week or whatever. Like, so if I say do the dance, you have to do the dance. I think I'm going to lose. The Wings are doing so bad, and the Blues are playing so good. It's hard for me to imagine the Wings beating the Blues at this point. So really, whatever I'm betting, I just have to assume I'm going to be the one doing it, so I got to be pretty comfortable doing it, unless you want to put a handicap on it, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so that's going to be this week. Pretty excited for it. Looking forward to reporting. I have a couple of great interviews this week, too. Remember Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? He was the postman. He was speedy delivery. Oh, man. I used to watch Mr. Rogers when I was a kid. Obviously, there's a great fascination with it right now. There was a documentary that just came out, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And there's a movie coming out starring Tom Hanks, who plays Mr. Rogers. And that movie is... Whew, I talked to Mr. McFeely about that. I had a interview with him this week. In fact, I recorded it today. And I think I'm going to air that at some point this week. It was just so fun to talk about the Mr. Rogers. I learned that the movie that they're filming with Tom Hanks, which is already filmed, he was, you know, he helped out and contributed because there's a character that plays him on it. It's got to be cool to meet someone that plays you on the big screen or whatever. But he was an actor for all those years. You know, I'm sure he's used to the limelight. But they actually filmed it in the old studio where they actually filmed Mr. Rogers. They went back to that PBS station in Pittsburgh, and that's where they filmed all those scenes. I thought that was cool. I learned a lot about it. So which we'll do that sometime this week. Oh, how about this? Let's look at a couple of different news stories out there. I found this one. I thought this was kind of interesting. In Sacramento, researchers at UC San Francisco announced that the age-damaged skin in older adults may be contributing to a range of chronic age-related conditions that include heart disease and Alzheimer's. When I was looking at the text line, Joy texted in and said, how can eggs be bad for you? I know, they go back and forth. And I did a whole egg thing last hour, and you're right, Joy. It's ridiculous. For the most part, I think eggs are fairly healthy, but why do they keep bringing this up? Eggs are going to be your demise, as eggs are the problem. No drugs are the problem. No over-drugging people or all these different prescriptions that are out there. Or hazardous health conditions inside of our own homes and things like all of these things. So no, forget about that. It's eggs that are going to be your demise. No, I don't think so. So now they're saying if you don't moisturize your skin, that's going to be your demise. What are you doing going out and moisturize? I feel weird. My wife always is doing the moisturizer. She has like the different pumps around the house. Sometimes she'll take it and she'll moisturize my kid if he's too chappy. Sometimes if he's got itchy feet, well, let's moisturize that. Everything's a moisturized situation with her. Let's just moisturize it. I don't like the feeling of having greasy hands and whatever you want to rub that sort of thing on. It doesn't feel good to me. I don't know why people like doing it. And even when my hands feel somewhat dry, I don't know. They'd have to be cracking for me to want to start using that sort of thing as a way to heal it. But even then, I don't know. So this is what they're saying. So the science behind it says as aging skin breaks down, the immune system releases small proteins to signal there's inflammation and damage areas to the skin. These tiny inflammation little proteins can leak into the body's circulatory system. And if there's enough of them, trigger body-wide inflammation. And that's where you start to have some of these issues with, for example, heart disease. When you have the triggers for inflammation all over the place. It can come from a big organ enough that very minor inflammation can affect the whole body. Skin is a good candidate because of its size. When we're getting old, the symptoms like itchiness, dryness, and changes in acidity, it could be the skin has a very minor inflammation. And because of the large organ, it elevates circulating these protein levels. So what they're saying is start using moisturizer in full. You're going to have to buy those giant ones. Like my wife doesn't even mess around. She forgets those little tiny handheld ones where you slip them in the purse or whatever. She always buys the giant pumps, like, you know, the gallon drums. Yeah, like not even that, you know, 10-gallon drums. So she buys these things from Costco or whatever, and I have to roll them in through the door. And she put this giant pump on top. Just like that. That's how often she's using these. And she's bathing in moisturizer. Bathing in moisturizer. All over the place. No, maybe it's not that bad, but that's how it feels. You know, now that we're talking about it, yeah, I just don't like the feel of it. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know a lot of guys that moisturize either. Like, I can't say I've ever once seen my dad use moisturizer, and I can't imagine him using it either. It's just funny to think about it. It's just such a new thing, moisturizing. Gotta go get a spa day in after that. I just never think of it. I don't know, maybe it's becoming more mainstream. Maybe more and more guys are doing it. It's becoming less taboo to moisturize, but then again, that's okay. I don't need to find out. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back. One last time. Well, they keep talking about the unofficial holiday, Cardinals opening day here in St. Louis, and what a big deal that is. I guess I've been here for one opening day. When did I start? I'm trying to remember my actual... It was in April. Well, maybe I was here for two. I just don't remember. I mean, no, I think I was here for two. And part of opening day is they make it into this giant holiday. So hypothetically speaking, you have SLU that made the NCAA tournament. And they're going to be taking on Virginia Tech, I believe, as part of the East bracket. And that's pretty exciting. The number 13 seed versus number 4 Virginia Tech. Very exciting. How far would SLU have to make it down the tournament before that's a bigger deal than Cardinals opening day? Would they have to, like, make it to the Final Four? Would that be enough for that to get more exciting? Would they have to make it to the finals, the national championship game, in order to be to outdo the Cardinals? Is it even possible for a team like SLU in a tournament like that to outdo the Cardinals? I don't know. I wonder what the sports hierarchy is. Would the Blues have to, for example, be in the Stanley Cup Finals before that's a bigger deal? Like, what would the Blues have to be in what scenario before you would say, no, that's bigger than the Cardinals? I'm just curious. We got about, I don't know, 10 minutes before we go and say goodnight. I see the text messages that are coming in. Thanks for those that came in. A couple of other things. I got a stack of a few stories I didn't have a chance to go through from Reuters. If you don't follow video games, then you may not understand the name Ninja is a big deal. But he is. I've never played Fortnite. I really don't care to play Fortnite. I don't know anyone that plays Fortnite. I got to say, I've never really met someone that has gotten into that game. But it's a worldwide sensation, at least for the time being, until something else comes and replaces it. You probably have seen it. I mean, it's widely cited when they talk about video games. And one of the top, quote-unquote, gamers in the world is a person by the name of Ninja. He does his gaming up in Chicago. That's where he's based out of. Huge following, huge, huge following. He'll play Fortnite for hours online. And he was actually part of the New Year's Eve celebration this year when he tried to get a crowd of just miserable New Yorkers who did not want to be standing out in the rain during the New Year's Eve celebration to do a dance called The Floss, and they were having none of it. But here's a story that dropped. It says, 27-year-old, famous for his hair color changes, currently bright turquoise, who tweeted about a live stream, and he has 13 million followers on his game streaming site, Twitch, that he decides to stream on. Pretty exciting. How would you like to be quoted in a Reuters news article, and the first thing they say about you is, known for your hair color? That's a way to diminish everything that he's earned and worked up until this moment. Come on now, known for your hair color. Give me a break. So there's a new game calling out called, let's see, a new game from EA Sports is called Apex Legends. It's launching. And part of this is, in order to get publicity for it and to get people interested in it, they partner with different popular gamers. And Ninja was the one that they were partnering with. When you have 13 million followers, you can do this sort of thing. In order for him to promote this new game, the Apex Legends, during the launch, they paid Ninja $1 million to do so. So he showed up, played this game for, you know, a day or whatever, and then he gets his $1 million check and goes. That's how popular this guy is. It goes to show you, there are some incredibly popular online and digital personalities out there that are doing some pretty amazing things, that have built something up for themselves, that they could demand showing up, playing a video game for a day, and then collecting $1 million check and going back home. Pretty remarkable. EA Sports in general is really, they kind of have like, outside of the NBA franchise, they kind of own the football and hockey. They have a lot of the rights purchased for that sort of thing, so they're pretty lucky to sit on those sort of those rights. But not, you know, the NBA is a whole different deal. The thing is, EA is like one of the most disliked companies in America. They are not looked at favorably. People look at them as being absolutely terrible to work with, and they need all the publicity they can get. I can see why they'd want to spend $1 million. It's kind of a shame. They used to be one of the top companies, but not so much anymore. All right, so that's Ninja. $1 million to go play video games. I will just make this offer to anyone that would like to pay me to play video games. Feel free to give me a call and send me an offer. I can give you a discount. It doesn't have to be $1 million, but if you want to see the world-class NHL 95 playing, you give me a call. There's no one better at NHL 95. You're not going to find it. Possibly NBA Jam for the Super Nintendo. I was pretty good at that, too. I wasn't world-class, but you're not going to touch me if you get me playing on NHL 95. Not a chance. You know, there was another story that came out, and this seems, you know, a little jump in the gun here. I think sometimes scientists are just fishing in order to get a little extra money coming their way. And there was one story out of The Independent where researchers in Switzerland have figured out how to reverse time. Reverse time. You may say, that's silly, that's stupid, that's not possible, and you are absolutely correct, because the headline is very misleading. Scientists have discovered the direction of time and reversed it with a quantum computer. Oh, so it's like a simulation. Yep, simulation. It's not an actual reversing of time. They just figured out how to manipulate this computer model to make things appear as if they're reversing time. And you may think that can't be too difficult. Well, yeah, it's very difficult when you're under the same constraints of physics and whatnot. So it represents a major advance in understanding quantum computers by using electrons. In the strange world of quantum mechanic, researchers have been able to turn back in this experiment the time. And they liken it to when you're playing pool. So you rack them up in the square, or the, not rest square, you rack them up in the triangle. You know, you crack the cue and the balls go all over the place. Boom, boom, boom. Some to the left, right, back, forth, maybe in a pocket or whatever. So they're liking it to that, except imagine it going in reverse where you can do a crack and it goes, everything sucks back in to that triangle. And they've been able to do it with a lot of regularity. I mean, I think it was upwards of 80% of the time, something like that. 85% of the time successfully in these, using their calculations, have been able to reverse these particles. So the latest researchers said, we are artificially created a state that involves a direction of opposite of thermodynamics arrow of time. In the experiment, the evolution program was launched, and during the process, order was lost, just as when, as if you were to scatter the pool balls, you're hitting it with the cue. But then a program, they were able to use the quantum computer to evolve it backwards. So you go from this chaos, balls all over the place, back in reverse order to make it orderly. So most laws of physics work both ways, in the future and the past. If you see a video of a pool ball knocking into another, for instance, and then reverse the video, the physical process would both not make a lot of sense. It would look a little weird. But essentially, that's what they say they can do. So theoretically, they can take these computer models and then use that as a way to try to replicate it in real life. And if they can replicate it in real life, that'd be quite a thing to see, now, wouldn't it? I don't know if it's technically reversing time. I think it's just taking something and then reversing it to put it back into the same order it was before it was scattered. That's a whole different story, though, isn't it? They make it sound like you got this doc going in on the DeLorean and flying around and getting the time machine and going back and pushing it all back in that way. It's not really the case there. They call it time reversal, 85% success rate. The experiment could have practical applications in the development of quantum computers, scientists say. But once you get the headline, scientists reverse time, you know, it makes you think of like something a little bit more exciting than that. Would you go back in time and change? I don't think you can go back in time. I love the stories. Isn't time travel an awesome storyline? I tell my wife anytime she sees something time travel related, let me know about it. But there's a lot of science fiction that talks about that sort of thing. And it's just fun to imagine it. It doesn't get any better than Back to the Future. I cannot wait until my son is old enough to watch that with me. Not because I'm afraid of the content that he'd be exposed to. I'm just in general, I don't think he's old enough to actually have fun with it. I don't think he'd be old enough to watch it and say, oh, I get that. He'll get bored. You know, it's not a cartoon. It's not Mr. Rogers. It's not something he loves right now. And for the most part, he'll just find that, there's only so many things that could grab his attention and keep his attention. I don't think that's one of it yet, but soon enough he'll be there. And I'll be able to expose him to the greatest movie of all time, Back to the Future, when that happens. Well, that about does it for us. It was a Sunday night. What can you say? Sunday nights always seem to be a little bit slower, but I'm happy to be here with you. And keep in mind, too, you can follow me on Twitter, @RyanRecker. And if you miss any part of the show, download it. That's a great way for you to support this show. If you download the podcast, go to KMOX.com/overnight. It's pretty simple, right? If you have a computer, KMOX.com/overnight. And then from there, if you have a podcasting app already built into your phone, it's easy too. All you need to do is just search Overnight America. And make sure you click that subscribe button. That way you'll have a direct link to it back whenever you please. Hopefully you sleep well tonight. I think I will too. Yeah, I think I will too. You know, make a decision to sleep well. We'll be back again Monday night, 10 o'clock. Until then, we'll see you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.